This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program. Now is the time to create your dream business, and Jim Palmer is the perfect business coach to help you get that done. Jim offers three different coaching programs, and as a member of his mastermind group, you'll also benefit from the advice, wisdom, and inspiration of other successful entrepreneurs. This is a group of action takers, so if you're tired of slow to no growth and are ready to finally grow your dream business, go to www.dreambizcoaching.com. That's www.dreambizcoaching.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Berg, co-author of The Go-Giver and author of Adversaries Into Allies, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Those are always great things in any business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and as always, I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm really excited about this week's show because my special guest is an online marketing expert, specifically in inbound marketing, and let me introduce Tom Schwab. Tom knows how to build an online business with an inbound strategy. He led the growth of Goodyear Crutches, a direct-to-patient private pay e-commerce business from a regional player to a national leader in under 3 years. Tom, I've got so many questions for you because, well, first of all, how are you doing, Tom, before I jump to my questions?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me here.
You can always tell when I'm excited to talk to a new guest that I haven't interviewed before because my brain gets going faster than – or my mouth goes faster than my brain. But I'm excited to have you on. You know, you and I connected through kind of a mutual friend, Aaron, who I interviewed, and he interviewed me right around the Christmas holidays. And you're also working with my daughter, my daughter's company, Interview Connections. So – kind of one of those Kevin Bacon things. How about that?
I am. I don't think there's 6 degrees of separation anymore with the internet and the tools. I think most people are probably 2 to 3 degrees separated.
Exactly. So, Tom, I'm excited to talk about inbound marketing. But, you know, before we kind of dive into the business stuff, put the meat on the bone, so to speak, tell us a little bit more about you personally and a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey, how you got started.
Sure. I am from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Yes, it really exists. And I came here as part of a Fortune 500 company when I got out of the service about 25 years ago. And I started to work up the corporate ladder and had great success. But, you know, it was a great paycheck, but I wasn't enjoying what I was doing. So at that point, I went out on my own and started a distributorship. Was basically selling orthopedic implants, the knees and the hips and shoulders, to doctors. And it was just here in Michigan, and we had a small sideline business that was helping people stay off their healing foot and ankle after surgery with alternatives to crutches. And just about the time that the Michigan economy started to turn and we led the nation into recession, the manufacturers wanted to cut out the middleman, and I was the middleman. So we took that opportunity to sell back the distributorship and then look at it and say, hey, can we take this small sideline business that we have that we're getting so much great feedback from customers on, and can we make that into a bigger business? And so Goodbye Crutches was born from there. And we went through a lot of the learning process and did a lot of the tricks and tactics that people talked about. And so much of it just struck me as it was chasing a transaction. It wasn't building a business. And so it wasn't until we tried everything else that we tried something that really worked. And with that, We were one of the first companies to really use an inbound strategy for e-commerce. And basically, it's using content and permission-based marketing to nurture customers and to attract them, and then to really build up the lifetime value, not just chasing the transaction. And we were so successful with it. We went from a regional company to a national leader, and it even attracted some partners from overseas in Canada and the UK and Australia. And last year, we started working with other companies through a consulting agency that we have called Inbound for E-Commerce. And it's basically a consulting and coaching business that helps companies go beyond the transaction and build and invest in a content and inbound strategy to attract more visitors, engage more leads, and delight more customers.
That's awesome. And, you know, first of all, let me say, do you still sell something called like a knee walker? Is that what you mean by goodbye crutches?
Exactly. You know, we sell knee walkers. We're the largest distributor of those. And then there's other alternatives for that. You know, there's a seated version. There's a hands-free crutch that a lot of the troops are using that coming back from overseas. That's more for young and active people. But we really focused on that buyer of what does somebody need while they're recovering from surgery.
You know, my wife had a spiral fracture last winter from the slip on the ice, all the ice we had, and she had a knee walker for probably almost a month. And this is kind of unrelated, but I think it's funny. We went to the orthopedic surgeon's office, and we're sitting there. I'd never seen one before. And we're sitting in the waiting room, the door opens, and somebody comes in with a knee walker. And I said, God, that looks silly. And then we go in for our meeting. The doctor says, here, this is yours for the next month. I have to eat my words a little bit. But I tell you what, that thing was amazing because, you know, it's hard to, when she wanted to try and cook or something with crutches, you can't stabilize yourself. And with a knee walker, you're totally balanced and you got your arm. So. Hey, how about that? Maybe we got it from your company. Who knows?
Could be. I'll have to go through and look at the customers. But it's weird because, you know, it solves a problem, and it's a very unique thing because we always say that we don't want repeat customers. You know, one time in your life recovering is enough. So there's really a business challenge there that how do you nurture customers so that they don't become a one-time customer, they become an advocate and tell more and more people so that every time, you know, they roll into a waiting room, that they're their walking billboard. And really we're able to leverage the tools of the Internet and the strategy to really make that happen.
That's awesome. You know, I was doing my research for this interview, and I don't know if I read it in an article or your website or somewhere, but did a customer once say your company or your service is like Preparation H? Did I read that right?
That's right. That is the weirdest compliment I ever got. And I actually took the call. The phones were really busy, so I picked up that one. And he said that we were like Preparation H. And I was taken aback, and he says, no, it's the ultimate compliment. And I'm like, okay, can you explain that one? And the point he made was that that in order for somebody to need our company, they had to have a problem. And nobody wants a problem, but once they have it, they want a solution. And so with that, you know, he wanted something that that worked fast, was doctor recommended, and it caused me to think, you know, all of us as business owners or salesmen or merchants or whatever we do, we always think that our product is the best. You know, everybody wants that. And in reality, nobody wants it because the only reason you buy something is to solve a problem or a need. And nobody wants a problem or a need. So I think that sort of reminded me that we should focus more on the customer's problems and their aspirations and desires than we should about our products or services.
Yeah, that's great. You know, part of what I know about inbound marketing is you focus on you don't focus on selling, as you said. You focus on serving. I totally get that. I mean, sharing information, giving content, creating relationships. I mean, that's really the strategy which will draw people to you instead of going out there and, you know, I liken it to taking your rowboat out and dropping multiple hooks in the water and seeing what you can catch. It's a totally different philosophy. Talk a little bit about inbound marketing and how you help people with your business.
Yeah, it's really a lot of times people say, well, what is inbound marketing? And I always say, well, outbound marketing is what you know and hate. You know, it's interruption-based marketing where somebody is yelling, you know, buy this, buy this, buy this on a television commercial, on spam emails, on the robocalls from politicians. And it's interruption-based marketing. And inbound marketing is really permission-based marketing. And now so many of the buying decisions that people make are done before they ever call you or experience you. You think about it. Every time you have a need or a question, first place we go to is the internet and Google it. And so those companies that are out there being helpful, answering the questions, providing the content in blogs and videos, things like that, they're getting the name recognition. They're getting known. People start to like them. They build up trust. So all of a sudden, when the customer gets down to the decision-making process, they're not just looking at a picture and a price on Amazon. You know, they're looking at, hey, here's somebody that has educated me, has helped the decision, has helped me solve the problem. And so with that, you know, you get a much better average sale price. You get better lifetime value of a customer. And ultimately, you get a better customer because they know, like, and trust you, so they become advocates. And there's a lot of ways that you can do that. You know, content marketing is part of that to draw them in and engage them. There's social media, which is a tactic or a part of an inbound strategy to amplify it. There's email marketing, which is a great way to nurture customers digitally. And then finally, there's the analytics that tie everything together because customers are telling us each day what they love and what they loathe. And we as business owners, all we have to do is look at the analytics of what they're telling us so that we do more things or less things that they loathe and more things that they love.
So how do you go about turning customers into advocates? Because I've heard that expression. I love it. And what are some of the strategies you use?
Yeah, you know, I'd say that everybody talks about it, but one of the things that not many people do is actually go ahead and quantify it. There's a study out of the Harvard Business Review. It was probably 10 years ago, and it was called The Only Number You Need to Grow. And basically, we've all had that study or all seen the question from it, and it's that question that says, based on a scale of 0 to 10, how likely are you to recommend, insert this company or brand, to a friend or colleague? And what they found with that is that that answer to that question is highly predictive of a company's growth, their profitability, and also their market value. And if somebody is a 9 or a 10 on that, it's referred to as a promoter or an advocate. And if somebody is a 0 to 6, they're a detractor. And we've done all kinds of studies, and that's one of the numbers that we track with all of our customers. And by going ahead and not only doing great service before the sale, but then doing it after the sale, it really moves that NPS score and really makes more promoters out of it. So, example, you know, most e-commerce companies, they have a transaction, and you get this automated email that says, hey, your credit card was charged for this. And then you get another one that says, hey, here's your tracking number. And it's very, very transactional. What we do is a lot different. So from the standpoint of before you even get that product, you know, there's this whole nurturing sequence so you can really love on the customer that way and really help them. So say if you're buying something, well, before you even get it, well, send an extra email that's got the instructions in it and a video, because we all know that nobody reads the instructions when the box arrives, but they'll read it or watch the video beforehand. So with that, they're happier, they're more prepared, they've got less complaints or questions, and they like it as soon as they open it. And then, you know, a day or two afterwards, then you go ahead and send them another email and said, hey, here's some tips and tricks that we've heard from other customers just like you that got to get the most out of whatever the product is. So that's adding value to it. You know, maybe the third email in the sequence is, hey, you know, on our website, we've got this community forum where people just like you who have got this product or problem are there. And it's a non-commercial site. You know, feel free to go there and connect with anybody. And then maybe in the fourth or fifth one, now you start talking to them about other products that they could buy. So not only are you building trust and adding value, but you're really showing them that you're an advocate. And we've done a lot of tests with that, and it shows that the net promoter score, when you nurture somebody like that, goes up drastically, as well as the average sale price of a customer, and then the lifetime value of them also.
You know, Tom, I was reading somewhere where 2015 is the time to quit the old, you know, pay-per-click addiction. You know, do you subscribe to that as well?
I do. Pay-per-click is getting more and more expensive, and I always called it my addiction. And when I talked about different ways that we had tried to grow the business, that was one of them. And it was one of my darker moments because it works. You know, you can go ahead and spend a dollar on a click, and, you know, maybe you'll get $2 in profits. But you're not building a business. That's like arbitrage. And I always said it was my addiction days, like cocaine or something, because, okay, you buy the drug, you get the fix, you know, and then the next day you crash. And the only way you're going to keep that business going is to spend more and more. And the one thing about pay-per-click and, you know, free market system that it is that those words continue to get more and more expensive, more competitive. So all of a sudden you might have been buying a dollar or spending a dollar to get $2 in profits. Well, next year it might be, you know, $1.50 and then $1.25. And so from that standpoint, it's a race to the bottom. And so you're with pay-per-click and tricks like that, or tactics like that, I would say that you're chasing a transaction, not building a business. And, you know, we took the money that we were spending on pay-per-click and cut that down and put it into content. So 3.5 years ago when we started, that was probably 4 years ago when we started on this journey, we were spending $3,000 a month on pay-per-click and probably getting about 3,000 visitors from it. You know, now we spend basically nothing on pay-per-click. We've taken all that money and put it into content, and we get 70,000 unique visitors a month. And for most sites, that's not a whole lot, but for our small little niche, that is huge. And it's funny because the first blog that I wrote 4 years ago that, you know, probably spent $20 of time and effort and everything creating, that one is still driving traffic and converting people and engaging them. So it's definitely an investment that keeps building and building on itself.
What do you think is the less costly way to earn traffic then?
Well, the thing is that, you know, the days of free traffic are over. Anybody that says they've got a way to get free traffic is probably selling something that's very expensive. You've got to earn the traffic. Now you can either buy it outright from affiliate traffic or pay per click, or you can buy the traffic from investing in content. And to me, content's a much better way to go. Because it's less competitive. There's definitely a first mover advantage with that. You know, if you're the first one in your industry that really starts putting out great content, it's going to be very, very tough for somebody to catch up to you and overtake you with that. And so to me, the content's the way to go. The other thing is that we've looked at is, you know, Google is always doing these changes in their algorithm, and you hear people talking about it. And the trick that worked yesterday gets punished today. And you look at eBay, last fall, Google changed their algorithm, and eBay lost 70% of their traffic overnight and lost probably about that much in their stock value, too, with that. And as I've looked back with all of our different customers, anybody that was using an inbound strategy, you know, focusing on good, helpful content for the customer, the reader, anybody that was doing that, every time Google changed the rules of the game, none of them were ever hurt by that. Sometimes they weren't helped. Sometimes they were helped, you know, quite a bit, where their traffic went way up. But it was never, they were never punished for it. So what that tells me is that, you know, content is good for the reader, and that's ultimately what Google's trying to promote. So that if you write and are helpful to the person, your ideal buyer persona that you're going after, I think that they will reward you, and also the search engines will reward you long term.
Cool. Hey, this has been pretty cool. I got time for like one more question. What do you know about selling on like eBay or Amazon? Is that, I mean, you see tons of people doing that. What's your thoughts?
I think that's another thing that's going by the wayside. Amazon has been great, and eBay, at cutting out the middleman. And I think the next middleman that's going to be cut out is the merchant. And we're seeing this already. Amazon and eBay have such great data right now on what sells, how to sell it, all the rest of that. So what they're doing is going directly to the manufacturers and buying it from the manufacturer. So for the manufacturer, they can cut somebody out so they can keep a little bit margins. And from Amazon, they can cut somebody out and keep a little bit more of the margins. So I think what you're going to see probably in three years is that you'll have Amazon buying directly from the manufacturers and selling to the consumers. And the only place that people will really be selling in marketplaces like that will be Etsy, where it's really low volume, more craft-made things than industrial-made things.
That's kind of scary for everybody that's invested in that field, that arena, I would think.
If you're invested in Amazon or the manufacturers, it's good for you. But if you're one of the middlemen that are trying to sell there, you'll see that that it's not good for you. And you know, there's all kinds of comments out in the community there that you know, the prices on Amazon are going down, and it's becoming more and more competitive, and the fees keep going up. So you see a lot of people that are selling a lot on Amazon and eBay, but if you really talk to them after the fees and charges and all the rest of that, they may be selling more, but they're making less. It's sort of the race to the bottom, and you know, we all learned about the supply and demand curve in school, and that's really what Amazon and eBay are. And one of the things that the supply and demand curve predicts is that price is going to go to a place where the cost of selling it equals the cost of production. And for somebody selling that, that means no profits.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, this has been very informative. I want to appreciate you for stopping by. How do people learn more about you and your inbound services?
Yeah, Jim. Well, the best place to find me is at inboundmovement.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn. One of the things we offer on Inbound Movement is we go ahead and take real questions from real business owners and answer them from an inbound perspective. We find that so many people have similar questions, and we can all learn from each other. So not only do you get your question answered, but you get a little bit of free PR on there too. So I'd encourage everybody to either check out inboundmovement.com or go there and leave your question.
Sounds awesome. Thanks very much, Tom. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with inbound marketing expert Tom Schwab. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Be sure to check out Dream Biz Academy, that's dreambizacademy.com, for more information on the next live event, which is coming up pretty quickly, May 7th, 8th, and 9th in beautiful San Diego. As I record this interview with Tom, we have like 12 seats left, so make sure you check that out. All right, that is a wrap for today. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. Until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Hey, now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.